Okay, let's begin. We are in James chapter 5 verse 7 and we'll read till verse 11. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and later rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endured. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So in this passage, the main character that James is teaching us is patience, right? Patience. And this he has taught us in chapter 1. And again, after many chapters, he brings up the same character that a Christian should have. And this is a very, very important character that we need to have as disciples of Jesus. This is so, so important. And a mature person, someone who is grown in the Lord, will have patience. And in trials, especially in trials, we need a lot of patience, right? Because in trials, we cannot do much. And many times, all we can do is wait. And wait on God. And be patient and continue to do the right things. So that is why in trial especially we need to have patience. And the Greek word for patience here is makrothumia. Okay, and the other word for patience is hupomone. So there are two Greek words that are used for patience. And the word hupomone means that we stay under a load or a pressure. We stay under a difficult situation. That is patience. And makrothumia means to be long suffering. Long suffering. Like means to wait. And it can be seen in how we bear offenses or injuries, right? Do we react quickly? Or are we slow to anger? Are we slow to punish? Are we slow to revenge? Do we have the character of waiting, or we just react as soon as possible? And that is what it means. Makrothumia means long. It comes from the word long. So you suffer long. You have long patience. You wait. You think. You evaluate. You persevere. You endure. You don't lose heart. You are of long spirit. And many times we will need this patience, and this really separates, right, a mature Christian from a baby Christian. And it is true in all walks of life, right? Like many have passion, but that passion doesn't last long, right? Out of many who have passion for something, few carry that passion on for a long time. Few carry that passion and work on it and work on it and work on it. And they succeed. And that is also true in real world. And that is also true in Christian world. That is why this idea of believing on one time of Jesus Christ just goes against this message. Because that passion of just believing on one time on Jesus is not going to last forever. But the biblical message is having that passion. Passion is important, but having it for a long time, continuing in it, day in and day after, weeks and months and years, in spite of the situation, in spite of the sight, in spite of the difficulties, right? So that's why patience is so important. Without this, our passion is useless, actually. Without this, we will not succeed and we will not please the Lord. And you know, in our Christian life, we are waiting for the Lord. We are waiting for the Lord. If someone asks us, you know, our hope is this, right? That we are waiting for the Lord. And the Lord is going to delay His coming. All through the scriptures, we see that there is going to be a delay. Of course, from God's side, it is not a delay. But from man's side and the way we are limited, there is going to be a delay. And during this delay, are we going to have patience? Are we going to have this perseverance for our passion every day, every week? Because that is what is going to... School pit is shaking. No, that is what is going to reveal our character. And the Bible says that the Lord's going is like someone who's gone off to a far country. Far country, so it's going to take time. Right? And in Matthew 24, verse 48, it says, "But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming." So, you know, this delay is going to affect our character, either in a good way or in the bad way. The bad way is, okay, the Lord is delaying, and I can relax, and I don't need to obey Jesus Christ, and I can do other things. And this delay, in this case, it made this servant wicked. He continued doing God's will, but that delay in the Lord's coming affected him, and he became evil. In Matthew 25, verse 5, it talks about the brides who are waiting for the bridegroom. And it says that the bridegroom was delayed. The bridegroom was delayed. So, you know, this delay is going to test us. Are we going to use this time to prepare ourselves? Are we going to use this time to persevere? To continue to obey God? Or are we going to, forget God, forget our Master, and start doing our own will? And we know that this is what happened when Moses went on the mountain to receive the commandments of God. It says that he delayed. And that delay tested the people. Right? So delay is for our testing. It's a time of test. And God is such a master that he is not going to give you the prophet quickly. Right? There are two ways of rewarding, right? We can either, you know, if we have people working for us, we either give them the reward quickly, or there are some bosses who say, you know, wait, don't keep giving rewards, right? But wait as much as they can, because they really want to be sure whether this man or this person that they are rewarding, is he really capable? Is he really, you know, does he really deserve this reward? So, you know, God of the Bible is not going to give the reward quickly. He is going to wait. Wait, I think because he's testing us. And waiting is a command from God. It's not a suggestion, but it's a command that God has told his servants to wait. Wait. I will reward you and I will fulfill my promises. In Habakkuk 2 verse 3, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry." And you know, in the book of Habakkuk, the prophet was becoming impatient. Like he's almost like, "God, where are you? When are you going to intervene? When are you going to help?" And this verse is encouraging this prophet. He's saying, though it tarry, it's going to be late, wait for it. The command is that we continue to endure and be obedient. In Zephaniah 3 verse 8, it says, "Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I arise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour out my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." So as we read in this passage, be patient for the coming of the Lord. You know, and the next event in God's calendar is judgment. There is no other prophet that is going to come and reveal new things. Jesus Christ has already revealed everything. So the next prophetic event when God will directly intervene in the affairs of man is judgment. And there is nothing else to be fulfilled. And Jesus was the final revelation. So, you know, this is a big event where God is going to evaluate man. And there is nothing that is going to, there is nothing else to be fulfilled. So that's why God is long-suffering. That's why in 2 Peter, Jesus, the apostle said that though some men count slackness, that God is not fulfilling his promise. And there will be scoffers and mockers in the last days saying, where is the promise of his coming? You know, the delay will, because of the delay, people will think that it's just a fable. It's just a story. And Peter is saying that is because God is long-suffering. You know, that's why the delay is. And we should be thankful to God. Right? Because we need time. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to make sure we are obeying. And there are other people who are probably living in rebellion. And God is giving them time to change. So that is the main reason of the delay. It's because God is long-suffering for us. And God is giving us time to change and to draw near to Him. And this message, you know, of waiting on God, of being patient, is so much in the Bible. It's unbelievable. Like, there are so many verses that you cannot just go through everything. But I just put down some verses from Psalms. In Psalm 25, verse 5, it says, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." I wait all the day. Psalm 27 verse 14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage." Be of good courage. Psalm 37 verse 7, "Wait patiently for Him, fret not." Fret not meaning don't be afraid. Psalm 37 verse 9, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." "Wait on the Lord and keep His ways." Psalm 37 verse 4. "Wait patiently for the Lord, and I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry." Psalm 39 verse 9. "Because of His strength will I wait upon Him, for God is my defense." Psalm 62 verse 5. "My soul waits only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." Psalm 69 verse 3, "I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, my eyes fail while I wait for my God." So sometimes it's going to be really hard, right? It's not easy to wait upon God. Sometimes it's going to really be very difficult by sight, and we will be in suffering. But still, here it says that this psalmist, he waited on God. Psalm 123 verse 2, "Behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden look unto the hand of thy mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until He have mercy upon us." Psalm 130 verse 5, "I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning." So we see, like, the disciples who are, you know, faithfully seeking after God, they had this characteristic of they waited on God. They were not impatient. They did not quit God. They did not start living in sin. They were patient. They waited on God. because God was their expectation. God was their strength. So in Isaiah 40 verse 31, you know, this is how we renew our strength. If we are weak, and if we are, you know, feeling like quitting, we wait on God. And that's how we can renew our strength. Isaiah 40 verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And so there will be times in our life where we will feel like fainting. We feel like giving up. And as Galatians chapter 5 says, chapter 6 says that we can be weary in well-doing. But we need to be patient and we need to wait on God. Wait on God. Trust Him that He, at His perfect time, will do what is needed, right? And especially, He's going to reward us at the end in the coming kingdom. And that is the main thing we are waiting for. We are waiting for the kingdom of God. And in Mark 15 verse 43, it says, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God. You know, that is the thing we are waiting for. We are not waiting for any temporal blessing in this life. Very, very important to understand. Because that may come or may not come. And most probably it will not come. Because we will read in Hebrews chapter 11, they all died in faith. And they did not see much in their lifetime. No, so we are not waiting for any temporal blessing in this life. If it comes, praise God, we enjoy it. But that is not our waiting. You know, we are waiting for the kingdom of God. And constantly we should bring this to our mind. And we are waiting for our Lord in Luke chapter 12 verse 36. And you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. Are we men and women that are waiting for the Lord? That's a very, very convicting verse to think about. Now, are we just like busy doing things that is not going to prepare us to meet the Lord? Are you yourself like unto men that wait for their Lord? When He will return from the wedding, that when He comes and knocks, they may open unto Him immediately. Now, this gives a picture of this servant is prepared. When the Lord comes and knocks, He's ready. He just goes to the door and He opens the door immediately. Why? Because He's ready. He's ready. He has done everything that He has to do to make His Lord happy. He's sure, He's confident that His Lord is going to be happy when He comes in this house. You know, and that is the key. As people waiting for the Lord, we are preparing. Preparing. And that is the Christian life. We are preparing every day to meet the Lord. In Romans chapter 8 verse 33, we are waiting for the adoption. We are waiting for the redemption of our body. It says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. With patience, wait for it. So this is very important. Like if we don't continue in patience, if we give up and start, you know, be getting busy in other things, then we will not be ready, and we will not be saved in the coming kingdom. And our works and all these things will be blessed in the end. Because He says, just like a farmer, I'll read the verse again. Behold, the husbandman or a farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it till he receives the early and later rain. So here the example is, just like a farmer, he works hard. And though he works hard, it is not him who can bear the fruit. He is dependent on the rain. If rain does not come at proper time, early and later rain, So rain has to come at proper time, and only then he will see the reward and the fruit. And rain always in the Bible is a sign of blessing, a blessing from God. And this was based all through the Old Testament. It was based on obedience. Like if Israel was obedient and following the Lord faithfully, God said, I will give you rain at proper time so that you would have lots and lots of fruit. In Deuteronomy 11 verse 13, it says, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandment, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you rain of your land in due season, first rain and the later rain, that thou mayest have in thy corn, thou mayest gather in thy corn, thine wine and thine oil. Jeremiah 5 verse 54, neither say that they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that gives rain, both the former and the later, in his season. He reserves unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. So, there cannot be a harvest without rain. So, all through the Old Testament, rain was seen as a blessing. And proper time of rain means that they were going to have a great harvest. So, just like that, now we are sowing and we are working hard. And if we do that, then God will bless us. Just like he blesses the obedient Israel. If they were obedient to God and that if they would serve God, then God would bless the labor in the field. Then verse 8, be also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. So we are patient, and as we are patient, we are establishing our heart. That is the goal of waiting. As we said, waiting is just not like, okay, God is going to come someday, so I'm just waiting, doing nothing. It's not like that. As we are waiting, we are strengthening our heart. And how do we establish our heart? In 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 13, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even unto our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So as we are waiting, the goal of our waiting and patience and endurance is we are establishing our hearts. We are becoming strong and strong every day by our obedience. And of course, by being holy and being blameless. So that is how we establish our hearts. The goal is that we prepare ourselves. We prepare our life to meet him. Right? Just like we prepare to meet an important person. We just if we have an interview, or if we are, if we really want to get this job or this business deal, we prepare. And if we don't prepare, is most 100% sure that we fail, right? So preparation prevents poor performance. And that's what he's saying here. Be patient and establish your heart. Endure. And use this time to prepare. Verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest he be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. So the word grudge here means to murmur or to complain or to grumble. And as we are waiting for the Lord, we can start misbehaving, right? We can lose our focus. And in this case, we can start murmuring and complaining against one another. And the phrase here, against one another, it also appears in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 6, where Paul says, and these things, brethren, I have in figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men about that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one against another. So You know, as we are enduring, as we are going through trials and testing, we should not blame other people or murmur and complain against other people, because we see God's hand in this, right? God is the one who is working in our life. And the biggest reason we murmur and complain is because we become proud and puffed up against other brethren. Like, you know, why am I going through all this? Why is this person not going through all this? Why me? Why not him? And all this is proud, right? Because we think that we are better than another person. So all forms of comparison and murmuring and complaining and grumbling is a form of pride, because we think we are better. And pride is the main reason for all complaining, murmuring and grumbling, because we think we deserve better. So we complain against other people, and also we complain against God, because we think that God owns us a better life, or God owns us some better things. So pride is the main reason. So, you know, bad situations can help us to be humble, right? Or it can really bring out the bad, the proud in us. So in this case, he's saying, don't, in your trials and testing, as you are patient, don't murmur and complain against one another, lest he be condemned. So this phrase, you know, is similar to Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, lest ye be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why behold thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam in thine own eye? So in our endurance, in our trial and testing, we should not be looking and comparing our situation and our life with other people. Really. And as we learned a few passages back, like, who are we to judge another man's servant? God is the one who has appointed him, and God is working in his life, and God is the one who will give him what he deserves in this life and also in the life to come, and God is the one who's planning his life. So we should not be focused on other people in our trials and testing. But we should be happy and content and look to God. Wait on God, not wait on people, right? Wait on God. Look to God. Trust Him. That's what James is saying. Then, verse 10 and 11, James gives us two examples of people who endured trials and testings. Let's read verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. So in this passage, James is encouraging us to look to other people who have gone through things just like you have. Right? And he's saying, look to the prophets. The prophets were God's people, and they were persecuted by God's people. They were God's mouthpiece to God's people. They were giving God's message. But they were persecuted by the very people that they were ministering to. Man, that can be really discouraging, right? Man, that will be so frustrating. Like, you're trying to help people, and they are your worst enemies. But they did not give up, he's saying. They did not give up. They looked to God. They waited on God. They continued in the faith. And they completed their race. And I've put down three passages, you know. Stephen, Paul, and Jesus, they said the same thing about how people responded to prophets in generally. It says in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, You do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. So Stephen, you know, this is the conclusion. This is his conclusion after he spoke to Israel after a very long time. He said, you are a stiff-necked people. You resist God. And all the, just like your fathers killed and persecuted the prophets, you have done the same thing. And this is the same conclusion of Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 15. He's talking about the Jews, he says, who both killed the Lord Jesus Christ and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men. Then Jesus said in Matthew 23 verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stones them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. So, you know, Jesus, Paul, Stephen, they're all saying the same thing. They're saying the prophets were killed by God's people. They were persecuted and they were, you know, they were badly treated. But these prophets did not quit. They did not faint. They continued doing what God had told them to do. And though they were alone and they had no success, almost no success. I think only Malachi had some success outwardly, you know, but most of them were tortured, they were killed, and they were persecuted. Then he gives the example of Job. So Job was not only a righteous man who feared God, but he was a patient man. He waited on God. In Job chapter 14, verse 14, it says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. So Job confesses here that, you know, he will wait. He will wait till God, till the resurrection, till my change comes. So Job was not only a righteous person, one who feared God, but he was a patient person. He waited on God. He waited for God's time. And also we can look at these two examples as if, as you know, trials and testing comes to us from people and from circumstances, right? The prophets, they were persecuted by people. And Job was in a very, very bad circumstance. Like he lost his health, he lost all his children, he lost everything. But he still have patience. So, you know, all are not like Job, right? And the prophets. There were many who were tried and tested, and they became impatient. When they went to trial and testing, they became impatient and they disobeyed God. They went their own way and they quit their Christian life, or the life as a disciple. One example is Saul. Saul became impatient. He did not wait for Samuel to come and offer the sacrifice. Another example is Achan, right? In Ai, God told them not to take anything, but to wait. And he became impatient and he lost his life. Because after Ai, the next conquest, God said, now you can take everything. You don't have to sacrifice anything. You know, so that is a good example of a man who, if he would have just been patient, he would have received the blessing of God. And, you know, we see this over and over again in Christian life. People do make bad choices just because they don't want to wait. They don't want to wait, right? They take up a wrong job because they don't want to wait. Whatever comes, you know, whoever offers good or whatever salary, and you know, they take it up. People get married to the wrong person because they think this is the last person that is going to come in their life. And really, it's such a perfect example of being impatient. they fall into a mess. And it's all impatience is not trusting God. Like you are thinking that God is not going to come through. And I know better than God. My timing is better than God. How about indulgence in sinful lifestyle? It's all impatience. And you know, this kind of attitude people show over and over again. They are not patient, they don't wait. They don't wait and they do the biggest mistakes that they have to go through all their life, probably. So you know, this is very important. Let us be patient in making decisions that are especially big decisions. Let us wait on God. Wait on God. Draw near to Him. And, you know, He will bless us, right? That's what He says. He will send the early and later rain. He will give the blessing. In Romans chapter 2, verse 7, it says, To who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. So, eternal life, we cannot have eternal life unless we have patience, unless we have endurance, unless we have passion for Jesus Christ day in and day out, week and month and years, right? These are the kind of people who will have eternal life. So they have not just done the good once a while, but they have endured. They have done it over and over again. And how do we get this patience? How are we encouraged to have this patience? It's by reading the scriptures. It's by reading the life of people that have gone before us and that have shown patience. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So we read the scriptures and that's how we have patience. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, it's a long passage, but we see that it's talking about the prophets, the example. It says, And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel, and the prophets." You know, we see about these people, they were not perfect people. Like, they did things that were wrong, right? But they did not give up. They were persistent. They went back to God. They asked for forgiveness. They asked for cleansing. They were back on track, right? And that is the key. These people did not give up. They had patience. They had endurance. "Who through faith they subdued kingdom, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lion, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better inheritance." You know, this is endurance. This is perseverance. They were tortured, but they did not accept deliverance. They endured. They waited. You know, that is waiting on God. That's, you don't quit. You don't compromise. But you continue to do the right thing. "Still others had trials of mocking and scourging, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, were tempted, were slain with sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So see, we run our race with endurance. There is going to be times of fatigue, weariness, tiredness, giving up, but we go to God. We read the scriptures. We wait on God. And we have strength again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he also gives the example of Jesus himself. He was patient, he endured. He endured the cross. And why? Because he had great joy set before him. So the key here, you know, they endured until the point of death. Right? They died in faith. And that is also the mindset that we should have. Right? Enduring till the end. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. So patience, another thing, patience comes from the scriptures and through reading scriptures, and the scriptures tell us of a hope. Without hope, we cannot have patience.
Right.
Impossible. Impossible. Hope is the key to patience. That the hope is that there is a kingdom coming. There is a judgment seat of Christ. The judge is standing at the door, right? That's what James told us. That is the key to patience. And we know that these three are the most important thing, right? Faith, hope, love. In 1 Corinthians 13, he says, these three are the most important in faith, hope, love. Of the whole, greatest is love. And hope is another way of saying patience. Through hope, we get patience. And all of the Lord's servants showed patience. Much patience. In 2 Corinthians 6 verse 4, it says, but in all things, proving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience. In much patience. You know, so all of the Lord's servants, they know that it's going to take time. That their master is not going to reward them quickly. That's what the master has already said, that he's going to delay. It's going to take a while. He's going to gone to a far country. So the Lord's servant should prepare his mind that he's not going to be rewarded quickly. That he needs to have patience. He needs to have endurance. And in closing, the last part of this verse, he says that you have heard of the patience of the Lord, and you have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. So we have the privilege of seeing the end of Job, right? Job did not see his end. And that is what is the trial all about, right? If Job knew the end, then it would be very easy for him, right? But we have the privilege to see the end of Job, to see the end of the prophets. And that should encourage us. And the encouragement, you know, the encouragement to patience and endurance is this, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. The encouragement, the foundation of patience and endurance is that God is good. He is a good God. And that is the reason he will reward you. That is the reason he will bless you of your labor. That is the foundation of waiting. That's why all the prophets waited. That's why David waited. That's why Job waited. Because they knew God is good. They knew that God is pitiful and of tender mercies. In Lamentations 3 verse 25, it says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. Verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Isaiah 30 verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. So, you know, that is what helps us to wait. That God is good and He is going to be gracious and rewarding in the end. So we'll stop here.